Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. An Odyssey station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Hello.
Hub Arkish.
His expertise in football is second to none.
670 The Score's senior football expert.
You're talking to one of the great techno boobs of all time.
Executive editor of Pro Football Weekly.
This is probably too much information, but I always keep my phone in my back pocket. I just feel like my ass is buzzing permanently at this point. It's crazy.
Shaw media analyst and sideline reporter for Westwood One.
We've got Joe calling in from Elgin.
I just want to say that you are so underrated. You're fantastic. You really are. You've got a great opinion. I would listen to you all day.
Breaking down the latest on the Bears and news from around the NFL.
When will the Bears give Allen Robinson his contract extension?
It's a puzzle to me. I don't understand why it hasn't happened yet.
Hub Arkish.
I'd love to poke you. I'm not going to now.
With Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score. The Score.
Let's talk some football with Hub Arkish, who covers the Chicago Bears as the executive editor of Pro Football Weekly and Shaw Media and this station and lots of places where you can find him. He is on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Well, Hub, it's never uneventful covering this Bears team. And not only do we have Akeem Hicks breaking his long-held silence, we had Marquise Goodwin calling out the play calling already after one game. How significant do you find the latter?
I guess I missed the latter, and I was in Marquise's interview yesterday, so that one I was not aware of.
Let me give you the quote.
This we have the quotes.
Regarding Jalen Ramsey. He said, he's a unique player. Us not running past 10 yards fell right into his hand. You got to work with what you get. I don't control the plays that are called. I don't control anything but just going out there and doing my job.
Yeah, that was an answer to my question, actually. But, you know, I guess I took that more as a question of the game plan and dealing with Jalen Ramsey. I just want to be careful in how we paint these guys, only because in the first three questions he was asked in that interview, he was very careful not to go anywhere near questioning play calling or challenging any coaches. So he was talking specifically about dealing with Jalen Ramsey and that it made it tougher, to try and beat him, and that he would have liked to have stretched the off defense a little bit. So, you know, I guess you can take it that way, but I just want to be careful to point out he actually really did everything he could to do the opposite and to not challenge any of his coaches and, you know, be the good organizational guy.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting, because when we saw even quotes and stories, it was a little bit different. Like in Chris Emma, he separated it. Adam Hogue separated it. So just tell us your recollection of the line of questioning and the discussion and the impression you got.
Well, again, I mean, guys, I don't know if you've read my column. I'm trying to remember if it was Monday. But I flat out just have said at this point, Matt Nagy can't call the plays anymore. And again, it was not because of you know, necessarily the plays that he was calling so much as that I just think it's important for him to be the head coach first, and that his head coaching is suffering and he's making ridiculous decisions like going on 4th and 15 with 10 minutes to play when he's really focusing more on what play he should call, you know, than whether he should be doing it at all. That was my take on it, by the way. Matt doesn't agree with that. And so, you know, coming away from that, I understand, but in this particular case, I guess I'm a little sensitive with Grissom, just because, as I say, and these were my questions also, I tried to get him to talk about the game plan and question it and challenge it, and he was the opposite. He said, no, he said, that's not up to me. I'm going to do whatever my coach is telling me to do. I had no problem with it. And then this was literally, you know, 4 or 5 minutes later in the interview, came back talking specifically about Jalen Ramsey. When he offered that response, the end game is the same, guys. They did not give him a better opportunity to do what he does best. They did not open up the passing game by not pushing down the ball down the field. I understand where everybody's coming from with this, and I agree. I'm not arguing that point. I just kind of feel the need. The guy was so careful to not end up being accused of exactly what he apparently is now being positioned as having said. And so, you know, that was my take on it.
I just saw this from the venerable Mark Potash. The Bears defense has allowed a quarterback passer rating of 98.6 or better in 11 of its last 12 games. And that has included 29 touchdowns and just 5 interceptions. That had happened just 3 times in the previous 38 games. That sure feels significant as a marker of steep decline.
Yeah, I mean, it's really significant, Dan. And this gets to the question now of the change. You think what you said, 38 games. So for the most part, we're talking about the after Vic Fangio era, or that does extend into even, the last 6 games. Well, no, you said it hadn't happened. So, the question is this the talent aging? Can these guys not do it anymore? Or is a lot of that the shift from Vic Fangio to Chuck Pagano and now Sean Desai? And, you know, the Bears were very clear to point out that one of the main reasons that Sean Desai got the job was to get back to what Vic Fangio was doing. So that is an indictment of one of two things. It's an indictment of the players and they're aging and this is over and they should move on and maybe they should have moved on sooner. Or, you know, it could be that these guys can still do it, but the Chuck Pagano defense didn't lend itself to it. And that's what they're trying to get back to now. And we cannot write that off with one game. I mean, you know, is anybody writing off the Green Bay Packers, who embarrassed themselves much worse than the Chicago Bears? So, you know, I do think we have to be careful there. But to Potsy's point, which is an excellent one, the defense certainly has regressed, you know, over the last year and a half or two. And the question now is it the talent or is it the scheme and the coaching?
Yeah, and that seems to be the question of the week, Hub, especially from us. The Bears did make one minor move today that happened earlier in the day, signing Alex Taylor, an offensive lineman, to the practice squad. And what that says to me is I'm wondering what is the status of either Jason Peters and or Larry Borum.
You know, we shouldn't speculate on these things. But in the case of the Peters injury, all I can tell you is that the history of quad injuries is not promising. They're tough to heal. It's a very different injury. It's not all that common. That's what we were told it was with him. So even if he was not 39 years old and possibly not in the best shape of his life, it would worry me a little bit. Not season ending or anything like that, but it's going to nag for a few weeks and maybe longer. And then how do you continue to improve your conditioning and get back to game conditioning if you're trying to rehab that injury? So I'm guessing that this is a signal that you know, the Jason Peters experiment is going to take a hiatus here for at least a few weeks, if not longer. The Borum injury is different. It looked like he rolled an ankle. You just hope it's not a high ankle sprain. And then what we clearly saw after that is what I was saying prior to that game. Elijah Wilkinson is not an NFL left tackle. And so, you know, my guess is that Alex Taylor is the first shot at an insurance policy. And then once we find out more about the injuries to the other two, it may not be the last move either.
There are other options internally, and it might be what everyone says they don't want to do, and that is weaken two positions by moving Cody Whitehair to the position he played in college. He might be able to give you competence there. Or Alex Bars, who has played both guard and tackle. How do they figure out what's best?
Well, they're going to rely. They act like Juan Castillo invented offensive line coaching. And he is an accomplished coach. I'm not saying I don't want to criticize Juan Castillo. He's had a pretty good career. But I don't even know that he's an upgrade over Harry Hiestand. So the idea that because Coach Juan is here, you know, we've got all the answers, it troubles me a little bit. I don't know how Juan feels about these guys, but I do know what I've heard from other sources around the league is as much as it would be really interesting with Alex Bars, there is some concern that he's a bit of a tweener. He's far more athletic than you need to be for a right tackle, but is he athletic enough to be a left tackle? He's got the size to play either. The issue I have with Cody White here is everybody's assuming, first he played guard his first 2 years at Kansas State, then he did play left tackle, I think started 22 games, so there's no question that's what he did at Kansas State, that's what he was doing when they drafted him, but they clearly drafted him to be a guard thinking that was his best position. He moved to center so seamlessly and even went to a Pro Bowl that now the assumption is, well, you can just pop him back out to left tackle. I think Cody Whitehair can be a really solid contributor at guard or center, but the idea that he's going to be the same player at left tackle is not a given either. And for that reason, my preference would be to, if you're going to experiment, try it with Alex Bars, because I even said when they signed him, that I wasn't so sure that they weren't thinking about trying to develop him as a left tackle, because he does have a lot of the traits. So I'm sure that's the exercise that they're going through, and what their opinions and evaluations are will dictate which way they go, if in fact they go that direction at all.
What were your takeaways from hearing Akeem Hicks talk for the first time at a charity event saying he wants to retire as a Bear?
Well, Layla, first of all, I couldn't hear it because I couldn't get there. And if this passes for, media availability, then shame on the NFL. But that's a different story for a different time. All I know is the stories, the great job that Jason Leisure and Colleen Kane and others who were able to get there have told us. I'm not surprised. I think what it all does is beg the issue, if this is where he's at, what has the 9-month silence been about? So I hope that this is all true. I hope it works out in everybody's best interest, but I find it hard to believe that this story is that simple.
You want to line up a call for Hub? Now is your chance, because we turn him over to you. 312-644-6767. Now is your opportunity. We're going to set aside an extended time for you to query Hub on all things Bears and the NFL. That is coming up next on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Bottom of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo, and we've got lights blinking and all set to go with questions for Hub. Are you ready for your people?
I am ready.
Good. We will start with Christian in St. Charles on The Score with Hub. Fire away, Christian.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Hub, I watch a lot of football over a lot of years, and I can't reconcile something. Hopefully you can. So I keep hearing that we can't, or the Bears can't throw deep and can't use their speed because they don't have time to block it up. But I've seen a lot of games over a lot of years that sometimes you just do a 3-step drop, sometimes you do a 5-step drop, sometimes you just do a 1-step drop and just throw the go route or a fade or some kind of deep route that just says to the defense, hey, look, we're here, shot across the bow. I might throw it out of bounds. I might, put it where nobody can get it. But just to have somebody like a Marquise Goodwin run against a corner and just say, hey, I'm running a straight go route, see if you can catch me, and just, put some kind of fear in the defense. I just don't understand why it's, oh, we can't block it up is the reason. Can you help me reconcile that, please?
Well, there's two different answers there, Christian. First of all, you and I are on the same page. It screamed at me throughout the game and at the end of the game, why did you go get all the speed if you're not going to use it? And going back to the conversation we had earlier with Marquise Goodwin, what we were talking about was how difficult it was for these receivers to operate because everything was in a 10, 12-yard box. And when you've got the best corner in football like Jalen Ramsey, you're in trouble. So that's one side of the story. But the other side of the story is you're trying to avoid big mistakes, you know, negative plays, putting yourself behind the chains. And their fear is that if they ask, you know, Andy Dalton or any of their quarterbacks to hold the ball more than two and a half seconds, that's what's going to happen. So you would think that the answer would be somewhere in the middle. Okay, have a throwaway play, even if you know you're not going to get it, but send everybody deep. Get them off the line and then dump the ball. So I'm with you. I can't reconcile it either. I don't know why they made no attempt to stretch that defense on Sunday night, but that was the scheme, and that's what they went with. And, you know, you look at 14 points on the board. You know, it's funny because we talked for years about what made the Bears' defense so great with Lovie Smith was, you know, you don't mind giving up the small stuff. You want to force teams to go 10, 12, 14 plays to get points because something's usually going to go wrong. Well, the Bears' game plan Sunday night was to go 10, 12, 14 plays and hope something didn't go wrong. And that's probably not the best way to go at it.
Next is Don on the West Side with Hub on the Score. Good first question. We'll see how this one goes.
How you doing, guys? So I had two questions, first of which, given the philosophy of being family-oriented and selfless that the team pushes, is Matt Nagy being a selfish head coach by following his passions and constantly putting himself first and taking back over play calling and not, you know, being more objective? Secondly, and if not, if you feel that that's not it, has he forgotten to be himself, that aggressive, innovative play caller that he promised to be? Thank you.
You know, Don, unfortunately, I can't pick a side on the first part because I don't know the man well enough. You know, there's things I like about him. There's things that concern me about him. But I don't know that he's doing this out of selfishness. I'd like to believe, whether it's right or wrong, that he's doing it because it's what he thinks gives his team the best chance to win and his offense the best chance to succeed. And I'm reasonably sure that's the case. So, no, I don't think it's selfishness. Now, it may be, I don't want to say incompetence, but he may not be qualified to be a head coach because he may not see what the better option is. But I don't think it's out of selfishness or ego. I think it's where he's at in his development, you know. And so, I'm sorry, what was question two again?
Has he gotten away from his apparent self-identification as an innovative play caller?
You know, I think that identification was a little overrated, to be honest with you. He had some fun trick plays in 2018 when everything was going great, you know, but all we hear is how complex and deep this playbook is and how they need extra time with this offense. He talked about it during the preseason. It takes 2-3 years. I don't know how you can have an offense that takes 2-3 years when the average career of a player is just over 3 years. So, I don't know how innovative he ever was. You know, he's done some fun stuff, but quite frankly, I keep coming back to it. There's a lot of stuff in the design of this offense that I don't like. You know, now I'm not as qualified as he is to form that opinion, but I am qualified to have that opinion. And so I'm not sure that he's ever been, you know, that creative or that innovative.
In Villa Park, next up is Peter on the Score with Hub.
Hey, I have a question about the Rams game. For the number of receptions that the Bears targeted and number of receptions, there were 40 targets, 29 receptions. Two of those targets were to Jimmy Graham with one reception. And that one reception, I believe, was covered by Jalen Ramsey, who's arguably one of the better defensive players in football. He made him look like a child when he made that catch. I don't understand why he has such a good player in terms of hands and size. They never use him, and I don't get it. He ought to be targeted, in my opinion, at least 8 times a game in red zone and short yardage plays.
Well, Pete, it was one of the comments. Yeah, it was one of the comments I made in my game story Sunday night. It was either Sunday night or Monday. I happen to think it was wise to keep him based on everything I know about him. I don't have a problem, you know, with the salary cap issue that everybody wants to focus on, as if the answer is that simple. But if you have them, you really should use them. And not only did he only get targeted twice, he only got 13 snaps in the game. And I didn't see that coming. I didn't really understand that. You know, as far as the made Ramsey look like a child, I don't know if I'd go that far, but I'd sure like to know how Jalen Ramsey didn't get a flag on that play and probably two or three others for pass interference. But he is the best corner in football, and when you are, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt. And in that case, you know, all Graham did was post him up, and while Ramsey's a really big corner. Jimmy's obviously a lot bigger. And so the refs let him get a little physical, but you can't let Ramsey get that physical. And it still didn't matter. You know, Graham beat him. So I'm with you, Pete. If you're gonna have him, you got to use him more than they did.
That's been the build-up to Frank in Oak Park with Hub on the Score.
Hub, I read your summary of the video from Sunday's Bears loss. You said the biggest negative plays in the secondary were on the shoulders of the safeties and nickelback, not the two starting corners. I'm not sure if there are many options if our safeties continue to play below their career averages. However, at nickelback, the Bears could move Christian back to special teams and put Shelley in at nickel. You saw a lot of training camp practices. Did Shelley create enough stinkeroo video in those sessions and preseason games to make the coaches leery of such a change?
Only Frank can get away with stinkeroo. I love it. You know, Frank, they had the five best DBs on the field Sunday night based on what we saw in training camp. I don't think Duke Shelley stunk. I don't see, you know, what the upside is in him from his couple years here. You know, he's undersized. He's got nice speed. He'll make some plays once in a while. But I thought Marquis Christian clearly beat him out for that spot. And Marquis Christian did not have a good night against his ex-teammates. Remember, he spent 4 years with that team. And, you know, as far as the safeties, Tayshawn Gibson was one of the two best players on the defense the second half of last season. And Eddie Jackson has obviously become an enigma to all of us. But this gets back to, I want to be careful, you know, off of one game. You can't go that far. Now, Brad Biggs had a great take, I guess it was in yesterday's paper, where he reminded everybody that this was the defense that chose not to show up for any of the off-season work except the mandatory veteran mini camp, almost to a man.
But they have great chemistry, great buy-in.
And they also have a brand new defensive coordinator who may be the least experienced defensive coordinator in the NFL. And so while I think it, not only is it not an excuse, I think it's inexcusable that they played the way they did Sunday night, but I think Brad's onto something. I think that probably had some impact in it. And if he's right, if we're right, then that means that it can get better fairly quickly. So this is one that we really do need to wait a couple weeks before we start, you know, getting ready to blow up, you know, Sean Desai and the defense and the safeties.
Woodridge and Paul on the Score with Hub.
Hi, people. My question is, do you think that the Packers quit on Aaron Rodgers on Sunday from the way that they played and the way he got tossed around?
Wow. I mean, that is a great question. Listen, I wasn't in the locker room. I'm not in their heads. I don't want to accuse anybody of quitting, you know, not unless it's blatant and I know it to be a case. But anybody who wants to pretend that embarrassment was not a result in some part, if not large part, of the way Aaron Rodgers trashed his organization and trashed his team the entire offseason is deluding themselves. There's no question that he did serious damage to that organization. It probably is fixable relatively quickly because he is one of the, you know, four or five greatest players of all time. But as far as I'm concerned, some portion of that embarrassment goes directly on Aaron Rodgers, and I think a really significant portion of it.
Our last question for Hub on this Wednesday will come from John in Barrington on Sports Radio 670 on Bernstein Rahimi.
Good morning, everyone. Hub, my question for you is, do you think there's any possibility that the Bears thinking of using Andy Dalton is to hopefully maybe he can exceed his expectations and they could unload him somehow and get some additional playing capital back before they go to either our young rookie or Foles and, you know, get back something for their overinvestment in QBs?
You know, John, it certainly is an interesting strategy if everything were to go right. No, I don't think that's their plan at all, and I doubt that they've even thought of it yet. But it would be interesting if he was playing really well and the team wasn't winning, and you saw the trade deadline coming and there was another competitive club that had an injury, you could conceivably, you know, milk a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick out of it. But a whole lot of stuff has to go right there. I don't think that was the intent. But there is a reason other than a deep salary cap hit that Nick Foles is still here, you know, and if in fact Justin Fields, not if in fact, when in fact Justin Fields does take over the starting quarterback job, you're just as good behind him with Nick Foles as you are with Andy Dalton. So that's an interesting one. I hadn't thought about that. Good for you. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's the plan. But I think there is a good chance that Fields is the starter by the trade deadline. The question is, will Dalton have played well enough for a desperate enough team to give them something for him if, in fact, they end up in that situation?
We always take your temperature about this next game, and this is one that everybody had in the W column for sure. Home game, Bengals, whole thing. And now a lot of us are having a sort of an existential Bears crisis that is calling that into question. Where are you on Sunday?
You know, Dan, I'm just starting to get into it. I will tell you, the Bengals played really well Sunday. I got to watch a fair amount of that. But I said, I may have even told you guys in the build-up during the preseason, I thought the Vikings were one of the more overrated teams out there. Why everybody was predicting that they were suddenly a threat again in the division, I thought they were improved, and I didn't expect them to play as badly as they did. But I don't want to make too much of that. I think the fact that Burrow was as good as he was coming off the short rehab on the ACL was impressive. At the end of the day, this is the Bears' home opener. This is Andy Dalton against his old team with something to show. And this is a team that embarrassed itself on national television Sunday. I think they're going to be ready on Sunday. They definitely have more talent than the Bengals. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not still going to make some of the same mistakes that they made Sunday night, because we still haven't figured out the reasons for all of them. So I'm not predicting that the Bears just come in and destroy the Bengals the way the Saints destroyed the Packers. But I still do think the Bears get a win. They're still the better, they're still the more talented team here. And now we got to find out Sunday if they're the better team.
Whew. And apparently, according to our own Joe Ostrowski, there is heavy betting support on the side of the Bengals, saying 80% of the handle is on the Bengals right now. I don't know what that says, but maybe this crisis of faith among the Bears observers is spreading.
Well, I don't know what the number is. What's the point spread?
It went to -3 on Sunday, and now all the threes are gone, according to Joe, some all the way down to Chicago -1.5.
Oh, guys, as you know, I don't bet. I can't stand the losing. But at 1.5, if I did bet, I'd be all over the Bears. They're still the more talented team. We'll see what happens. And you got the Bengals going on the road, the Bears home opener. That sounds like an overreaction to me. But hey, we'll see. Maybe the Bears are that bad. I certainly hope not for Bears fans' sake.
With the home field advantage, I don't know, man. I like the Bears' chances. Maybe it's just me. Hope we always appreciate it.
Layla, just real quick, I know we got to run here, but the point you just made, at 1.5, it's making the Bengals the favorite.
Correct. It's three. Yeah. You get three for being
three.
At home, right?
Yeah.
So it feels like a bad line to me. And by the way, the smart money comes in late. So let's see where this goes. It'll be interesting.
Ah, look at us. Thanks, Joe. Go team.
Thanks, Hub.
All right, take care, guys.
That is Hub Arkish. And next up, I was looking at some numbers when I just sort of peruse the White Sox season. There are a couple numbers that I circled that jumped out at me, and I thought, well, wait a second. Where do these fit if these two players qualified to be in the league leaders? And the answer was number 3 and number 4 in all of baseball in something that's really good. One of these names, if you've been listening to the show, one of these names has come up already in our discussion. The other one has not. But there's some pretty special baseball being played by at least a couple guys on the South Side. And I'll give you that context next on The Score.
Thank you.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Oh, Luis Robert charges this ball up left center field. No chance. It is a splashdown.
How strong is that dude?
Oh, uh-oh. He knows where that's going to end up. In center field and out.
Those were two baseballs that just got waylaid. Robert and Grandal.
Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, there's all sorts of good things going on. And if you are new to the way we talk about baseball, there is a statistic that a lot of smart baseball analysts really enjoy because of its elegance and simplicity and because of what it does to account for so many things.
It sounds complicated. It's really not. It's a great stat that you should get used to using. It's weighted runs created plus. You find it on Fangraphs, WRC and the plus sign. And maybe you've seen OPS plus on Baseball Reference. It's calculated similarly. They're both very good stats. I prefer WRC plus. It's one number. It is a number that is viewed relative to 100. If you have a 100 weighted runs created plus, that means as an offensive player, you are league average. League average for that year, adjusted for park. So whether you play in Colorado or Detroit, there are adjustment factors that go in based on the run environment of that year, which is why it's a wonderful historical stat as well to go back and see what Babe Ruth did or Ted Williams or Barry Bonds or Honus Wagner, anybody like that. So any number above 100 is a percentage above average. Any number below 100 is a percentage below average. Your leader in baseball right now in WRC Plus is Bryce Harper at an astonishing clip of 170.
But not my home run pool.
Not your home run pool. But Bryce Harper 70% better than the average offensive player in the 2021 MLB. So I was looking at some numbers. Not everybody is qualified to make the league leaders, but I still think it's worth noting. Luis Robert, with his current slash line of 349, 387, 558, has a WRC plus of 158.
Get him!
At 158, if qualified, that would tie him for fourth place in all of MLB with Fernando Tatis Jr. That would be...
My, how the turns have tabled.
That is 4 points higher than Shohei Ohtani. That is the current rate of production of Luis Robert.
Who's number one?
Bryce Harper, 170.
Right. Yeah. But in the AL?
In the AL, it is Vlad Guerrero Jr., unsurprisingly, at 169.
Ah, yes.
Now, where is Yasmani Grandal, who was talked about at length by Cody Decker earlier? Yasmani Grandal's weighted runs created plus 160. That would tie him for third place with Juan Soto.
So his statistically strange season has been consistent.
Forget how strange it is. It doesn't matter. What matters, all that matters, he is a 160 WRC plus. That is the number that says how productive you have been in creating runs and therefore wins that occur because of runs. This does not take in base running or defense. But my goodness, 160 for Yasmani Grandal, 158 for Luis Robert. They got those guys back, and those guys are destroying baseballs with the best in the game.
But did Eloy Jimenez stress you out a little bit?
Oh, my God, he broke the Steve Stone rule. He broke the Steve Stone rule. Don't leave your feet. And he's lying there, and seriously, Jason and I stopped what we were doing, and and he's not moving. And then he, of course, he's like lying there and gives the peace sign, like, I'm good. I'm good.
You're not. And no, we are not.
He broke the Steve Stone rule. You can't. Don't leave your feet.
One of our really funny texters said to fire Eloy Jimenez's glove into the sun. Mm-hmm. And I agreed with that. And last night and left is, I'm just like, okay, things are all right. Things are all right. Wait, no, 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 no. And that's how that went. But either way, it's almost like the Sox front office had a plan or something.
Right? Kind of amazing. Next up, transition with Lawrence Holmes on the score.
I know Luis can run, can hit a mile, and can play great defense. And those are Mike Trout-type talents.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.